Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T, rolling in again with the Prophet, Rick Craig. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be here, Seth. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well. And also with us on the line is a former WWE superstar. He was one half of the famous tag team Headbangers. He was Headbanger Thrasher. He is Glenn Roof. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll tell you what, that intro just gave me, like, some goosebumps and stuff like that, hearing Road Dogg and everybody else, and then having you bite off of it and everything. It's cool. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, just before we went on the air, Glenn mentioned how he likes the name of our show, and hopefully, I guess that played a part in convincing him to join us.
Yeah, you had to twist my arm a little bit, but not too hard.
All right, good. This is Oh You Didn't Know Radio. We're here every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Man, you gotta say that with some conviction. Oh, you didn't know? Come on,
yeah,
man. Come on. What kind of respect does that give to Jesse, to Brian, to Road Dogg? Come on. Say it with some conviction.
Do it again, Seth.
I do it in the intro. I do the whole.
Oh, do it again. You got to do it live, man.
He's
going to
stop now if you don't, Seth. Come on.
All right. Well, you can follow Oh You Didn't Know Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/OhYouDidn'tKnowRadio. And we are part of the ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com radio network. So check them out, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You can follow me at Seth Gutt, S-E-T-H-G-U-T-T, on Twitter. Our good friend here, the Prophet Rick Craig, has a great group on Facebook, Pro Wrestling Obsession. You should all go ahead and check. And Rick will be starting a new podcast, Pro Wrestling Obsession Live, at the beginning of May. So we're very excited for that. JCD should be joining us later on, so I'm not playing his music until he gets here. So let's go ahead and get started. So, Glenn, why don't you start off and tell us, you know, how did you transition from Glenn Roof, the enhancement talent that was, I believe, on the first or second episode of Monday Night Raw to...
The very second one against Marty Jannetty, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a very different look.
It wasn't that much of a transition. The way I was brought up in this business from, you know, I went to the wrestling school, the Monster Factory, with Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, who's trained tons and tons of, you know, former champions and champions to this day. But, you know, we were always taught, you know, to pay your dues, and part of getting your, you know, paying your dues was getting the snot kicked out of you, you know, by the veterans and everything else. That's how you learn to respect the business that you're in. So, you know, it wasn't much, you know, the first, I want to say, 3 years in the business, that's all I did was, you know, job matches on TV, you know, against all of them, you know, Taker, Flair, you know, Marty Jannetty was the second episode of Monday Night Raw from the Manhattan Center. So it was more or less a learning experience. And, you know, it was my foot in the door. They knew who I was. We went out and we, you know, made up a gimmick and everything else. And, you know, everybody really loved it.
So you and I read that you met Chaz at the wrestling school. Is that correct? You were training him, I think?
Yeah, I was after, you know, I got done with my training as I started training guys down there and everything else. And it was really weird because, you know, Chaz lived in a town that was neighboring my town. So we lived near each other. We went to, you know, high schools that used to wrestle and play football against each other. So we kind of knew of each other, but we didn't know each other. So, you know, he came down to wrestling school and, you know, we just hit it off. It was, you know, it was something that, you know, he had the same kind of body type I did, and, you know, the same kind of attitude, goofy, you know, fun, just out there trying to do anything and everything. So, you know, we started, you know, tagging together, and then we went to USWA first, Jerry Lawler's federation down in Memphis, and we went down there as a tag team called the Spiders. And we used to wear hoods. So after we got done doing our run through there and everything else, through Memphis, Arkansas, Kentucky, and stuff like that, I always knew Jim Cornette, and he was like, you know, I would love to bring you guys over. I have a tag team that's finishing up, New Jack and Mustafa. The Gangsters were finishing up over Smoky Mountain, so he wanted to bring us in, but he didn't want to bring us in as the Spiders because he didn't like hoods. So
right.
He went to I still can't figure this out to save my life. He told us he went to a Glenn Danzig or a Danzig concert. Seeing Jim Cornette in a Danzig concert, I just don't see that happen. But
I don't either.
He said he was there. So he comes back and he goes, you know, I saw these guys. They had all these piercings and tattoos and they were crazy and, you know, all this other stuff. Because we always had that. He goes, they listen to this real heavy rock music like you guys do. And he goes, it was just crazy. They were jumping around. They were just nuts. He goes, so I'm going to call you guys the Headbangers. And we were like, that's cool. And he goes, you know, I want you to be real outrageous, real off the wall and everything else. And, you know, then he came up with Mosh and Slasher. But we were like, Jimmy, there's, you know, a guy in a band named Slash. I don't think we should use his name. And he goes, all right, Thrasher then. So that's how we came up with Mosh and Thrasher. Now, the skirts came afterwards. We used to wear, you know, regular, like, black shorts, you know, cargo shorts and the heavy metal T-shirts and stuff like that. But we looked an awful lot like PG-13 that used to run around down that area, Wolfie and Jamie. Or Jamie and Wolfie D. And so we were like, you know, we're sitting there watching, you know, videos on TV, and here comes Axl Rose on TV from Guns N' Roses singing whatever song he was singing, and he was wearing a kilt. And we were like, oh, my God, that is awesome. So we're down in, you know, the Bible Belt down south where, you know, guys are guys down there. You don't cross a line down there. Guys are guys. It's just, that's how this South works. So we were like, to see guys wearing skirts, they would probably really hate us. So that's how we came up with the skirts. Now you got to imagine me and Chaz in the Salvation Army trying on skirts, you know, down the you know, plus size ladies aisle. So trying on skirts, we're getting all kinds of looks. And everything else.
If that was,
you know,
now,
was,
I would hope that it would be on YouTube if you were doing that now.
Oh, if we were, if the next time that we actually have to go purchase skirts, we plan on video on it just to get the people's reaction. It's so funny because back when we were, you know, doing all this and stuff and everything else, we didn't have the, you know, the YouTube and, you know, all the videos on the internet and stuff like that, you know, so You know, it is a little bit before our time or after our time. But, yeah, we plan on actually getting some reactions to it and everything else. And they're priceless. They're so funny. You know, everybody's like, you know, what are you doing? You know, because it's nothing for us to go in there wearing shorts and just to drop our shorts in the middle of the store and then try them on, you know, right like that. So, you know, you got to feel the fabric up against your legs and stuff. You can't have, you know, your shorts or your pants on. That would be wrong. But, you know, it's so funny. Everybody always says to us, you know, the headbanger, the gimmick and stuff like that. It's not a gimmick. I mean, Mosh and Thrasher, that's who we are. That's Chaz is, you know, Mosh. You know, it's his personality. You know, Thrasher's my personality. It's actually who we are. I still listen to, you know, old school heavy metal and stuff like that. You know, Marilyn Manson, he's, you know, one of my favorites. And you know, I still listen to his stuff. So, you know, it's not far off, you know, from what we are. I still have all my ears pierced. I still have tattoos. I want to get more. I don't know about how Jimmy does it, but he always finds a way of labeling the people the right way.
Right. That's great. I do have a couple more questions, but first I'm going to throw it to you, Rick, so you can ask the question.
Glenn, it's Rick with your favorite Facebook page, Pro Wrestling Obsession. How you doing, brother man?
All right.
I made the mistake a few months ago. In case people don't know, Mr. Ruth is also a member of Pro Wrestling Obsession, and I made the distinct error of posting a video of Glenn wrestling Ric Flair. I was called a dick for it. Glenn called me that. I've never forgotten that, but I got a good chuckle out of it. I deserved it.
It's so funny. I love seeing the old stuff like that, but seeing me with hair just looks really stupid.
Yeah, that's the way I am, too. I'm bald, so I understand. My question to you is, you guys obviously came into the WWF at the time as the Headbangers, but just a little while after you got started, you guys got repackaged. And a lot of people don't remember the Flying Nuns / Sisters of Love with Brother Love as the manager.
Is a lot of people say they don't remember it, but every time I do these interviews, everybody always brings it up and they always talk about it.
You know why? I thought it was cool, and I really would have liked to have seen something done with it. I'm surprised they pulled the plug so early on it. But
well, you know why they pulled the plug so early? Because they were getting a lot of feedback from the churches and everything else.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the way it was, you know, brought to us. Vince is like, we're doing this new thing. It's called, you know, Shotgun Saturday Night. We're going to be in all the bars in New York City doing matches, real late at night, you know, everything else. He goes, I got to have something off the wall. He goes, you guys are off the wall. He goes, that's you guys. He goes, that's going to be your show. You know, it's headbanger, you know, attitude stuff. He goes, but I want to kind of tie you guys into something else also. So he came to us with the nun thing. And the way he presented it to us, he was like, do you remember Sally Fields in the Flying Nun TV show? I'm like, no, I don't remember that at all. He's like, yeah, she had a real big hat, and she could fly, and this, that, and the other thing. And we're like, Vince, whatever you want us to do, you're the boss. Tell us what you want. So he came up with it. What he was going to do is we were still going to do the Headbangers on, you know, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and, you know, all the other shows. But on Shotgun Saturday Night, we were going to do the Sisters of Love. And he was going to tie them into each other by saying, look how crazy these headbangers are. They don't care what they wear. You know, all they want to do is get in there and fight. But, you know, that got squashed before it ever, you know, had feet to walk on. But the funniest thing is we're up in New York City doing promos for it and everything else. And we pull up in front of the big, giant church up in New York City, the real big one. And it's in the middle of the day. Vince is like, go up there. We're wearing all of our nun outfit. He goes, just go up there and pray, and we're going to cut a little shot of you guys doing that. But as we're up there doing that, the church doors open. Out in the middle of the afternoon. Here comes this old lady coming walking out. Now, this is the honest to God true story. The lady comes walking out, she sees us, you know, all she can see is these nuns bowing their heads and praying. So she comes over, and she's like, "Come on in with us," and she starts praying with us. She looks, now, mind you, she's really short. She's maybe 5 foot. So, like, right as we're getting done, she, like, looks up and she sees our beards and that nose ring and, you know, and knows it. Oh, my God, this guy. She starts beating the living shit out of us with her purse. All you see is Vince kick open the limo door going, "Get in!" So I wish that would have aired sometime, but, you know, oh, God, it was hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. And then we did a thing up in the toy store up there where we just went in and we just caused havoc in there, and we almost got arrested when we were doing it. So, you know, we had a lot of fun doing it, and, you know, we were the type of whatever you wanted to do, we're going to do it. Now, do I wish we would have done it a little bit differently? Absolutely, because it seemed like more people said no up there the further they got. So I wish we would have, you know, picked and choose what we did a little bit better. But you know,
I still think it was cool. I know, obviously, Bruce Pritchard's over in TNA now. What was it like being with Brother Love?
Bruce, I have nothing but, you know, everybody has stories about everybody. And, you know, how, you know, he's an ass and this, that, and the other thing. I've always gotten along with Bruce. You know, we live in South Florida, so we go, you know, when they had TNA up in Orlando, we used to go up there on Thursdays just to stop by and say hi to him and everything else. And, you know, Bruce is just, he taught us so much from his viewpoint, you know, as a manager and looking in and stuff like that, that, you know, normally we wouldn't have saw. So, I mean, Bruce, he's great. You know, I have nothing but, you know, the utmost respect and, you know, gratitude for him.
That's great. Our other co-host, JCD, is now with us. So I'm going to let him ask you a question as well. JCD, welcome back to the show.
Hey, sorry for the delay. Just taking care of some last-minute stuff.
Hey, masturbate on your own time, mister.
Nah,
we're trying to do a show here.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Hey, question. When you guys broke apart in 99, was there ever any plan for you guys to work against each other when he was doing the Chaz thing and you were on your own, or was that never in the cards?
Well, no, what happened was is the reason that I was out is because I had two knee surgeries. And they didn't want to leave Chaz just because, you know, a half of the tag team's out. They still got to get their money out of Chaz. So that's why they did what they did with him. And the whole GTV was supposed to be me trying to get us back together.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, I was actually there for that. I think you did pull that at Nassau Coliseum or something.
Yeah.
Yep, I was there for that. I remember that.
So, you know, the whole thing was him being by himself and him doing the Chaz gimmick and then him doing the Beaver Cleavage gimmick and stuff like that was only because I was out with two knee surgeries. I had my ACL replaced totally, and then I had my medial meniscus removed.
Oh,
okay. So, you know, I had,
you mentioned that,
you know,
that...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. You mentioned that you and Chaz... The Headbangers gimmick was really who you guys really are. So what was it like when Chaz went and did that Beaver Cleavage, whatever gimmick it was? Did he, like, feel uncomfortable doing that? Was that not really supposed to originally be part of it?
I would imagine. I mean, you know, it's so weird because, you know, later on, you know, we just did something with Ring of Honor where we came in as the Guardians of the Truth and everything else, you know, when we started working back again together. And it's just, it's so weird to go in there and try to have a different persona than the one that you used to doing for 15 years. You know, we've been doing the Headbanger thing, you know, a long time. So, you know, I can only imagine that, you know, it was different and difficult. I mean, just even when he did Chaz by himself, I mean, it was, it, it's always different. It's awkward because, you know, you have to go out and be your, you know, the person that they expect you to be, but the person that they expect you to be was Mosh. You know, that was him. That's him. It's just, you know, a different name. That's the way Chaz is. Chaz is crazy and everything else. And he still spits in the air and tries to catch it all the time.
Very true, very true. JCD, any other questions?
No, you guys covered a lot. I came on when you guys were talking about the whole Shotgun Saturday Night thing, so I was a little interested in knowing the backstory of that. And then, yeah, I just wanted to know if there were plans for them to work separately against each other.
No, there was never any plans of us working separately.
Okay.
Glenn, what are your thoughts on the current product where WWE has gone, you know, in the later 2000s?
You know, it's just the fact that they had to adjust, I guess, to a different clientele, I guess, or different viewers. You know, I guess that's why they scaled it back to PG, you know, just because they wanted to target a different, you know, viewers. You know, I think I think it's different. I mean, I'm used to the Attitude Era where everything and anything went, you know, but the way the tag team situation is now, there is none. So, I mean, you can't really say there's a tag team division because there isn't one. You know, you have two solid teams. To me, putting two guys together and calling them a tag team doesn't make them a tag team. They have to work together in the ring together. You know, me, a tag team, they look alike. You know, they complement each other and everything else. You know, I think, you know, the primetime players are, I think they could be, you know, really, really good. But with that being said, you know, do I see them being used properly and everything else? No. You know, the same thing with, you know, the Usos. And, you know, I think they have something really, really good also. They look alike. They complement each other. You can always, Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express, they complement each other. Hawk and Animal, they complemented each other. You know, it was just, you could tell when they got in the ring that, oh, yeah, they've been together for a while. And to me, that's what made tag teams so good back then, is people can get emotionally attached to a tag team back then because they knew that they were going to be together, you know, after WrestleMania, after SummerSlam and everything else. Do you think Kane and Daniel Bryan are going to be together after WrestleMania? I really don't. I see them dropping the straps to Ziggler and, you know, Big E and everything else, you know, at WrestleMania. I actually see that happening. And then I can see Kane and Daniel Bryan being separate. You know, you can't get emotionally attached to tag teams when they throw two single guys together. At all. I mean, maybe it's just me, but, you know, that's the way I feel about it. Do I blame Vince for throwing two guys together and making them a tag team? Absolutely not. You got to look at it through the business end of a guy running a company. I have these guys on my roster. I'm paying them already. I need to use them. Why would I hire, you know, the Headbangers again, bring them back when now I'm going to be paying two guys when I'm already paying these two guys. I'm just throwing them together and making them a tag team.
You know, I don't think that anyone else on the show here is going to disagree with you. I think that the last number of years, as exactly what you just said, they throw these single guys together and just make them a tag team. And like you said, a very good example are the Usos, who are a tremendous tag team with great you know, they work so well together, yet they're not being used that way. I'm sure JCD and Rick, you guys would agree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, you know, I feel, you know, some of the guys up there that they got are really, really tremendous in the ring. I mean, they're very athletic. They're very good workers in the ring. You know, 90% of them are like that, 99% of them. But there's no characters anymore. I love Fandango. Why? Because he's a character.
Fandango?
Whatever.
Come on,
he's
say it right, or
he's
not going to show up at WrestleMania, Glenn. Say it right.
Right, right. You know, it's a character. Why did everybody like, you know, you know, Godfather? He's a character. He's
yeah.
a character. He's somebody that you can get emotionally invested into, either loving or hating him. You know, everybody up there now, it just seems like everybody's trying to be Steve Austin, in my book. Everybody's trying to be an ass kicker. You know, Santino. I love Santino. He's a character. He's entertaining. You know, Zack Ryder. He's entertaining. And he's a character. And that's really Zack. I mean, what you see in the ring, that's really Zack. But Vince will continue. You know, I look at Zack Ryder and I see us. You know, because Vince really never gave him a push. You know, a big giant push like he does for some of the other guys. Because he didn't have to, because Zack got himself over. Zack will always get himself over. So he can do whatever he likes to Zack. He will still be over. Just like what he did to us. He did everything and anything he wanted to us. You know, with the oddities and everything else that we did. He knew that we would still get over. Because we related to the people. Now, again, that's just my opinion.
No, you make very good points. And I think that the points that you make, you know, are ones that many wrestling fans, especially my age, I find that, you know, fans in their late 20s, early 30s especially, definitely would agree with you that WWE seems to not know how to correctly use or effectively use their wrestlers. And like you said, they definitely got away from characters and more try to make it more realistic with real people. But then, like you said, everyone just ends up sounding and seeming like they're trying to be the same.
Well, let's see how well, you know, being yourself and everything else, let's see how that worked out for other companies. Oh wait, Ring of Honor does that, don't they? They don't really have any characters or anything else. Everybody's pretty much themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, El Generico, you have.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So, and don't get me wrong, I love what Ring of Honor does. And, you know, I enjoyed working, you know, our spots that we did with them, you know, the brief little skit that we did with them and stuff like that. But, you know, let's call a spade, you know, it is what it is. People still want to get emotionally attached to a match. When you're doing high spot after high spot after high spot after high spot, nobody can register what you're doing. They register the last high spot. When you're kicking
Absolutely.
Out of everybody's finishes, you know, and during the comeback, and you're kicking out of everybody's finishes from the tombstone power driver to, you know, the stunner and you know, all these moves that everybody's always, you know, gone under for, and you're kicking out of them now, it doesn't give that much credibility now, does it?
Absolutely. What else can we say? But we all agree with you. Is there anything that you want to, you know, plug? Any upcoming appearances that you're having or ways that people can follow you?
Well, this weekend, I'm going to be in WrestleMania area. In the area of WrestleMania, I will be at, on Saturday afternoon, they're having a school show for the Monster Factory in Paulsboro, New Jersey. It's all over. It's on my Facebook pages. They can find me two different ways on Facebook, under Glenn Ruth and the Headbanger Thrasher. They can find me on Facebook
Great.
Under both of them. I accept everybody. I don't care which one they go to. I'll accept everybody. And I always try to talk back to everybody. I always try to answer everybody's questions. Sometimes it just takes me a little bit, but I always try to get to them eventually. They can follow me on Twitter, @GRThrasher. And Saturday night, I'm doing an autograph session right up across from Madison Square Garden. It's called the Shenanigans.
You're going to the party?
Yep, I'll be there. And then on Sunday from 10 to 2, I will be at WrestleCon at the Meadowlands.
Great. Awesome. Great timing. Big weekend coming up for all wrestling fans, and good to hear that you'll also be in the area. Very impressive the way that you want that you connect with all the fans, very willing to accept everyone. Very impressed.
Well, this is what I always say. If it wasn't for the wrestling fans, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So I should thank every single wrestling fan that's ever seen me in a ring, watched me in a ring, or is going to watch me in a ring. So that's just how I feel. I feel every professional athlete needs to remember that without them people sitting in the seats, they're going to be doing it in front of nobody. How much fun is that?
Hey, Seth, can I ask Glenn one last question before we wrap it up?
No, I will not make out with you.
You're going to hang out with me? I appreciate that. Hey,
no, I won't make out with you, I said. Not hang out. I won't make out with you. Jesus.
There's something I wanted to know because you were hinting at it big time on Facebook and we never found out what was going to happen. When Old School Raw was rearing its head, you were hinting big time like you guys were going to appear on it. What happened?
We actually thought, we get an invite, but it never came about. Our phone never rang. It's so weird too because both me and Chaz are probably in better shape now than we were. And I know everybody always says this, especially the guys that leave, but we're in better shape now than we were when we were there. And what's so funny is we took, about 10 years off. We didn't wrestle every single night. We didn't wrestle, like all these other guys are. So we may be in our, early 30s or early 40s, but in wrestling words or wrestling lifetime, we're still in our early 30s, mid-30s. I can still do everything I used to do back then. I still do it now. So, we were really pulling for it, and the 1,000th episode of Raw, I really thought that we'd get an invite for that, but it never happened. I wish it would have, but, you learn never to say never in this business. So, who's to say you won't see us pop up next time they have it? Who knows?
Well, tell Barrington I said hi, okay?
I will.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for taking the time to talk with us on Oh, You Didn't Know Radio.
Oh, You Didn't Know Radio! Hi, guys.
We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see you sometime over the weekend.
All right, don't wait your meatloaf.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys.
Take it easy, bud.
Have a good night. Bye. All right, that was Headbanger Thrasher. Again, you can follow him at GR Thrasher. We're going to go through all of the WrestleMania 29 matches. We have a little under a half an hour to go, but of course we need to take our 14-second break. You know why?
Well, of course we do.
We need to hear from the Big O.
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned, we got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
All right, that was the Big O, who you can find at Pro Wrestling Syndicate this weekend, Thursday and Friday nights in Metuchen, New Jersey. I will be there Friday night. PWP Radio's Jay will be there Thursday night filming PWP TV, I believe. So if you want to go ahead and check that out, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. On my site, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, I did post predictions for Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Supercard. I'm very excited to meet the likes of Bret Hart and Vader, possibly the Iron Sheik. I'm not sure if he's there the same night I'm going, but I know he will be there one of those nights, at least. But let's go ahead and get started with the WrestleMania 29 predictions. And let's go ahead and start with the pre-show, what we know for the pre-show, and that is Wade Barrett versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. While most people will probably predict Wade Barrett, I actually think it's time for The Miz to take the Intercontinental title back. And I think that as a face and someone who is doing a lot for the company outside of the ring, The Miz is a great person to put the belt on. And it's not like they're building Wade Barrett up very much because he is another mid-card champion who continues to lose night in and night out. So I'm going with The Miz, JCD.
I'm going with Barrett, actually. I think, you know, the whole little incident that made the internet explode when Hunter kicked him in the balls, I think that was actually designed to help Miz beat Barrett that night, to give Barrett an excuse. I think Barrett's going to win, and I think it's, you know, you're going to get to a point in the next couple of weeks where between him and Cesaro, I really think they're going to make these guys serious again.
All right. We'll have to see. Rick, what do you think?
Well, first off, JCD mentioned Cesaro, which I'm glad he did because he's not going to be there. What are they doing with the mid-card titles? No Cesaro at WrestleMania. They've got him jobbing out every week. They've got Barrett getting his butt kicked on a weekly basis. They're making the mid-champions look incredibly weak, and I don't understand why. I'm going to go with you, Seth. I think The Miz is going to take Barrett down this week.
Thank you very much. And although Cesaro is not scheduled for a match, I can't imagine them going the entire WrestleMania without Cesaro being involved, having a match. I still think we'll get a battle royal or something's going to happen, and Cesaro will have a match. The pre-show, like I was telling you, Rick, before we went on the air, that the pre-show is an hour long, and we only have Miz and Wade Barrett scheduled right now for the pre-show, so that leaves a lot of time.
I don't know if you saw what MetLife Stadium put out today as far as the list of times. They still have the show starting at 6:30, so you might get a lot of backstage stuff for a half hour. And then, Miz Barrett maybe kicking off at like 6:40.
I definitely think we'll get some backstage stuff, but for an hour, I don't know. We'll have to see. So let's move on to the next match. And the next meaningless match I can think of is the 8-person tag match between Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. And like I said last night on PWP Radio, I think that WrestleMania is a great opportunity for Tons of Funk and Funkadactyls to do some crazy dancing and have a great time and get the crowd, you know, involved. So I think that we're going to see Tons of Funk and Funkadactyls win this match. JCD?
Yeah, I was with you last night, and, you know, the Bellas have been getting some wins over the girls, and even Road Scholars beat Funk and Tenzai the other night. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is definitely a dance segment.
Rick, are we making it 3-0?
Well, number one, that should have been the pre-show.
Yeah,
and Miz and Barrett
absolutely
should have been on the card. You don't put a title
absolutely
match on your pre-show. That's ridiculous. No, we're not going to go three for three on this one. I'm going to go with Rhodes and Sandow and the Bella Twins to knock them off again.
Interesting. All right.
Well, Rick, real quick, the reason, you know, as far as the pre-show title match, they did it at SummerSlam too, and they've done it a few times. I have no problem with it if it's going to make the pre-show mean something. It's, you know, the flip side is you could be Cesaro and not have a match. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess there's good and bad in everything. You know what I mean?
But why wouldn't you have your title match on the WrestleMania stage and put the fun Funkadactyls and Tons of Funk on to get the crowd warmed up?
Well,
you know, nobody's going to take that match seriously.
We also said last night is that match might be an in-between match, kind of something like maybe like if you go like Punk Taker.
Is that the potty break match? Is that what you're saying, JCD?
Yeah, you go that match, then you go Cena Rock. They do that. Last year was a rarity that they didn't do that, but they had that Brodus Clay segment anyway. They've done that. If you look at the WrestleManias the last couple of years, they've broken up the big matches.
I'm with you, JCD. I think that although it would kind of make more sense to have Tons of Funk match during the pre-show, I think that maybe the title match gets the crowd or people to watch the pre-show more. I don't know, but we'll probably see that 8-person tag match somewhere later on in the show. Someone just reminded me on Twitter the last night, John Morrison gave me or insisted that I come up with yet another nickname, and that is Velo Seth Raptor. So you can add that, Rick, to my list of nicknames, along with Gutfather. But we're going to move on with the WrestleMania card, and we're going to go with Chris Jericho and Fandango. And I have to go with Fandango here. I think there's no reason whatsoever for Chris Jericho to win this match, and I think a loss to Fandango would be a bad decision for his character. I know JCD disagrees with me, so go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter who wins the match. I still think the biggest winner out of all this is going to be Fandango. You know, he's Vince's pet project. That, you know, it's Jericho. Jericho's going to make him look like $1 million anyway. And whether he wins or loses, if he hits a post-match assault on Jericho and hits that leg drop, because like I said, Curtis is a tall dude, and he gets some height with that thing, that leg drop's going to be a sight to see.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very impressive move. Rick, what do you think?
Well, we talked about this at great length last week, and I don't think any of our opinions have changed since then. And I'm sticking with you, Seth. I think Fandango will pull this one out. I understand what JCD is saying, but I think it's important that Fandango does not start his career off with a loss, especially on the big stage. That's my thought,
exactly.
I guess.
I couldn't agree more. We're now going to talk about the tag team title match. And as Glenn Roof just talked about, he feels as though Ziggler and Big E Langston will take the titles from Bryan and Kane in order to allow them to break up and go their separate ways. Personally, I think that Ziggler and Langston will win the match, but not the titles. I think that they will win the match by disqualification to give Big E Langston the victory, but not the title. JCD?
I think Kane and Bryan are going to win, but as I said last night, I have bigger plans for Ziggler.
Right. Rick?
I don't think Ziggler is going to have bigger plans at WrestleMania because I don't think he's going to cash in, and if he does, he's going to fail. I think he's going to win the tag team titles with Big E Langston. I think something stupid's going to happen between Kane and Bryan, like I said at the last pay-per-view, that didn't happen, and they're going to implode, and we'll see maybe a mini feud between them before they really move off in a different direction with them.
Right. Okay, moving on, Ryback and Mark Henry. I think this match was totally set up for Ryback to have a big WrestleMania moment, and I think WWE is going to give it to him. I think we're going to see a Ryback win. There's no reason for Mark Henry to win this match, and it would be like the fifth pay-per-view in a row that Ryback would be losing, so that would be another terrible mistake. JCD?
Yeah, I think Ryback's going to have the moment of the night with the shell shock and win. Yeah.
Rick?
We finally get a sweep. I think Henry and Ryback, it's going to be a good, hard-hitting match, but I think Ryback's going to end up pulling it out of nowhere when it looks like he's going to get whooped.
Is that our first sweep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, I'm interested to see how many of those we get. Next up, we have the Shield against Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. I personally think it's going to be another win for the Shield, and unlike a lot of people, I don't think we're going to see a Randy Orton heel turn. JCD?
Yeah, I got the Shield too. I don't think the heel turn is going to happen at WrestleMania. I think it's going to happen at Raw the night after. I could see an accidental miscue, maybe Show hit goes for the knockout punch on one of the guys of the Shield and hits Orton or Sheamus by accident, or the same thing with the brogue kick, and then the three of them demand the rematch the night after on Raw, and that's when the heel turn happens. But I have the Shield winning only, and I had them winning from the start, but also because of a very disturbing rumor I heard earlier this week, which I'll get into a little later.
You want to say it now?
Well, let's go through the WrestleMania stuff and let's touch on some other stuff. I got about two or three things.
Okay. Rick, what do you think?
Well, we're going to go for another sweep, but for different reasons. I do think the heel turn's going to happen. I do think, like I said last week, I think Orton has been setting Sheamus and Big Show up. I think he's been accommodating way too much. Randy Orton does not accommodate anybody. I think he's setting them up for the big hits. The Shield's going to win the match. Orton's going to be the one that turns on them to cost them the match, and I still think he's going to end up with the Shield somehow.
Okay, well, it still counts as a sweep, and whether he does it at Mania or if he does it on Raw, I'll be at both events, so that would be an interesting thing. I'm going to Raw.
Oh, nice.
All right, time for, I believe, the Big Four matches. And the first one we will discuss will be the World Heavyweight Championship match between Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger. I think that we could see Del Rio leave as champion, we could see Swagger leave as champion, and we could see Ziggler leave as champion. I think that Swagger's going to win the match, but I think Ziggler's going to cash in on Swagger. JCD?
I'm a huge Swagger guy, you know that. I was realistically the only one that picked him to win the Chamber.
Right.
But I think the beating he put on Del Rio Monday night pretty much solidifies that Del Rio will probably win at WrestleMania. I've heard they're headed to a submission match at Extreme Rules, so I can't see Del Rio losing at Mania. I can't see them wanting to bounce the World Heavyweight title back and forth a few times like that, so I think Swagger's punishment, this will probably be where it catches up, because I know Swagger was supposedly originally lined up to win, and then, you know, he had his little situation. He's not going to get released. I don't even think he's going to get suspended, but I do think they're going to stick to their guns and not put the belt on him.
All right, Rick?
I agree with JCD. I think Del Rio will win this match. I think they are still trying to tap into the Latino market. I still think Alberto's getting over more than people realize. I think Swagger America is not coming yet. I think his punishment is coming first, and then we may see something happen this summer with it.
All right. I just remembered what JCD's big plans for Ziggler are, and we'll get to it.
Oh, back to Ziggler. If he does try to cash in, I think he fails.
Interesting. I think.
Ask you this, Rick. Does he fail in the sense that he loses, or does he fail that he gets stopped like he has been a few times when he's tried to cash in?
I think he's going to flat out fail.
So you think he'll lose
clear.
To Del Rio?
I think he will. If he attempts, I'm not convinced he's going to even attempt, especially if my prediction of him winning the tag team titles, he may not do it. If he attempts to do it and thinks he's going to make a big sweep and take all these belts, I think he's going to, if he attempts it, he's going to fail like Cena did.
Okay.
All right. So no sweep there, I believe. Yeah, definitely
not.
Next up, we have Triple H and Brock Lesnar. No holds barred match. If Lesnar wins, Triple H must retire. I think Triple H wins. I don't think Shawn Michaels gets really involved much. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. JCD?
I think Lesnar wins. I think I think something's going to happen. I don't think deliberately, but I could see something happening accidentally with Michaels that causes it. And, yeah, I think with Lesnar's two-year contract in his pocket, I think Lesnar has to win. Hunter can transition into the COO role. And you know what? It's a WWE retirement. When, except for Shawn Michaels, have they really ever stuck?
Flair.
Absolutely. And that's because Shawn Michaels really wanted to do it that way.
Right. So yeah, when have they ever stuck?
They forced Flair to stick to it. But that's because he's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Rick, what do you think?
I'm 100% again with JCD. I think Lesnar will win the match, even. You think Hunter's got to get some retribution somehow after two arm breaks, and then Michael's getting an arm break in there. You would think, and you know, and Vince getting blasted and Stephanie getting bad mouth, you would think the retribution has to be coming. But to JCD's point, Lesnar just signed a new contract. Triple H is not a full-time wrestler. They can't have Lesnar lose every freaking pay-per-view match, or he's going to lose the whole monster credibility to him. I'm going to have to go Lesnar winning the match as well.
I think you guys make good points. I don't feel that strongly that I'm not that confident that I think Triple H will win.
And I'm not that confident Lesnar's going to win either, but that's if I'm trying to be realistic. But do you know how WWE is? Sometimes they couldn't care less about what's realistic.
I mean, like we said last week, Hunter could win and Lesnar could do something Monday night to totally regain the heat. But they're getting to a point with Lesnar where he can't keep doing that. I mean, he's 1-1. He lost to Cena. He beat Hunter. So, I mean, he's 1-1. But they've got to get to a point where, you know, Lesnar's got to start winning. And I think he will this year. I think last year, especially with Cena, was about just getting it out of the way because they really thought they only had him for whatever it was, 25, 30 appearances. So
right.
I'll give them a pass for how they booked him last year. But if he loses Sunday, he can go out Monday, get his heat back. But if he's going to work Extreme Rules, he's going to work SummerSlam, he's got to win those matches. And I know there's talk about a title run for him, so he's got to win.
For a match that we all knew was coming, a match that was very predictable in the fact that it was happening, I'm very impressed with WWE and making the outcome less predictable.
Agreed.
Yes.
Very, very impressed. All right, moving on to Undertaker and CM Punk. I believe that The Undertaker will win and face John Cena next year at WrestleMania 30. JCD?
Yeah, I think Taker's going to win. That beatdown Monday night was awesome. And everyone who was up in arms yesterday, I'm part of the IWC, I'm offended. Yeah, Bear's son even said, I wasn't even offended. My stuff got totally taken out of context. And never once, and I said this last night, never once did anyone say that was Bear's ashes in that urn. That was never said by anybody on Raw. That was never said by Cole, never said by Lawler. The urn has been a prop for 20 years. So don't start saying now all of a sudden it's something that it's clearly not.
Right.
Yeah, very good. Rick?
Well, I'm going to do an about face because I have been going Punk is going to take him down this whole time. I've been feeling that Undertaker is going to retire. I've been feeling that Mark has been wanting to let the streak end and that he had hand-chosen Punk to do it until Paul died. There's no way on earth they can let Undertaker lose this match now.
So we got another sweep.
Yep.
Yep.
How many are we up to? I think three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three. All right, finally, with just a little under 6 minutes to go, we are up to Rock versus Cena. And I am going with the popular opinion that John Cena will get his redemption and walk out WWE champion. Now, JCD, your turn. Give us your Ziggler special thing.
I think John Cena will win the match, but I could see, I would love this, and I've said this for months, somehow Dolph Ziggler has the Money in the Bank contract tweaked and Ziggler cashes in on Cena, officially stealing the show at WrestleMania. And boy, what will Cena be like on Monday night if that happens?
I think that that's a very interesting idea, but I don't think it's happening. Rick?
No, I don't think it is either, but you know what? Cena's got nothing to do after, well, Tech might have nothing to do after WrestleMania. The World Heavyweight title is fine with Swagger and Del Rio. Why not put the WWE title on Ziggler and let Cena go after him?
Rick, what do you think?
Well, number one, I love that idea. I just don't think it's going to happen. Cena's not had a belt for way too long. He's going to go over. He's going to get his redemption against The Rock. He is not turning heel. I don't care what anybody else says. He is not going to turn heel. Vince doesn't have the balls that WCW had in turning Hogan heel. Vince doesn't do that. He doesn't cut his cash cows down that quickly.
Austin.
He did do to Austin, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was a different time. There was a number of guys.
And he's a borderline guy anyway.
There were a bunch of guys at the same level as Austin at that time. There's
true.
No one who does what Cena does for that company.
Because, I mean, let's look at it. Seth, you're right. Austin was there, so was Michaels, so was The Rock. I mean, they were drawing just as well as Steve Austin was. So it was easier to turn them then. And plus, Austin was a tweener anyway. It wasn't such a stretch to turn him. People liked him because he was a badass, and whether he's good or bad, he still was. So Vince doesn't pull
there's
the trigger that
guys,
much.
There's enough guys that if they really had to turn Cena, that could cover him faceway. This is not as, and I know TLD said this last week, but it's the gap between Cena and the rest of the faces in that company, despite what people want to think, take the outside stuff out of it, is not that great. The gap is not that big. You turn Punk face, Punk will take that spot. You pull Brian away from Kane, Brian's that guy. So you've got guys. Sheamus is still there. Big Show will be there. If Orton doesn't turn, Orton will still be there. There's still guys Cena can work with as a heel that this will work. And then, oh, by the way, there'll be a third match with Dwayne on the horizon.
Well, I think, first of all, there's 2.5 minutes in the live show. I assume
overtime.
Oh,
okay.
Flip the coin.
Okay. So in two and a half minutes, we're going into overtime.
This is my last live show for a couple of weeks. We're going overtime.
Yeah. It's not a question as to whether or not there are guys for Cena to work with as a heel. It's a question as to whether or not there's someone who can do for the business what Cena does for the business. CM Punk went from the top, the number two face behind Cena, to the top heel. I don't see them turning him face anytime soon because he gets so much heat as the top heel. Daniel Bryan, I'm a little intrigued because his popularity has skyrocketed, but I still don't know that he can do some of the things that Cena does. Rick, what do you think?
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I am. Punk has just elevated himself so much as a heel. There's no way they can turn him face again this quickly. If they were going to do something like this, they would have kept Punk in his position. Daniel Bryan, I love him to death. I think he's doing a great job. Who would have ever thought Daniel Bryan would get over more for his gimmick than his wrestling ability? I never would have saw it coming, but he's done a great job. But is he at that tight end level? No. Kids aren't going out buying Daniel Bryan T-shirts. I mean, it's just not happening. I just don't see it. Yes, John can work with these people, but I just think it tips the balance too far into the heels. The faces aren't up there with
it. You know what it does, though, too? All right, these guys who you think that are borderline or questionable, just think when a full audience can finally crap on Cena, what that's going to do from the guy across the ring from him. So if Daniel Bryan, let's say, is an 8 out of 10, You don't think...
Wait, hold on. There's 10 seconds left. Anyone who wants to listen to the rest of the show, make sure you download it on iTunes, and I'll be putting it on gutwrenchpowerblog.com. All right, go.
Okay. You don't think... Okay, so Daniel Bryan, let's say, is an 8 out of 10. If Cena's a 10 as a face, let's say Bryan's an 8. And now Cena turns heel, and Cena's working Bryan. You don't think Bryan's going to elevate up by working with Cena? You know, especially when you have the crowd finally able to embrace crapping all over Cena. Cena as a heel would elevate some of those guys that we're talking about that we're saying, you know what, they're there, but they're not there yet. How about Cena as a heel against Orton as a face? I know we're all on, you know, board with Orton turning heel. Cena as a heel versus Sheamus as a face. I know it's been done a million times, but versus Big Show as a face.
JCD, it's not a matter of the feuds or what would happen in the ring. It's overall what John Cena does. He sells out places for WWE. He
does
of these media appearances. He does so much more than what he does in the ring for WWE.
Yeah, but Cena could still do that stuff, though. Look at when Miz was champion. Okay, if you want to talk about a guy, all those people that said Rock should have the belt because, oh, he's going to do media, he's going to do this. If that's your theory, then you know what? Miz should be the longest-reigning champion longer than Punk. Look at all the stuff Miz did as champion. He was constantly at red carpet events, constantly doing TV shows, talk shows, all that. So guys can do that, and Miz was a heel. Guys can do that as a heel. As long as Cena doesn't go over the top and start, like, slapping, like, the divas or, you know, snuffing little kids in the face in the crowd, Cena could still do that stuff. He's still the face of the company. It's, you know, we're talking about John Cena the guy versus John Cena the character. And you can differentiate the two because Miz was a perfect example of it.
Well, that's where I'm going to disagree with you, JCD, because, number one, Daniel Bryan isn't an 8. He's a 6. And the reason he is he's not a face. He's not a heel or a face. He's a definite tweener, and fans can't figure out whether they want to taunt him or whether they want to cheer him. As far as Cena goes and The Miz, they're in completely different planes. The Miz was a lower card champion. Yes, he was a world champion at one time, or the WWE champion at one time, but he is several notches below Cena, and people didn't care about The Miz.
Yeah,
they are more invested in John Cena than The Miz will ever be invested in.
No,
you're
missing the
point, Rick. I think
it's
a completely different stratosphere with the guys. I really do. I don't think it's going to translate the same.
You're missing the point of what I'm saying. I understand what Seth's saying about the stuff that Cena does outside the ring. The charity, the Make-A-Wish, the appearances, the extra media, the external media stuff. Miz did all that stuff. And that's, you just made a great point that connects to that. A lower-level guy who was looked at much lower in the league than Cena was still able to do all that, despite the fact that he was, quote-unquote, a heel. So this whole thing about you can't turn Cena because of what he means outside the ring, there was a year and a half spurt where probably your most known guy out there, and they would show it every week that he was somewhere, was a heel who was a couple steps lower than Cena. So you could still do it with Cena, even if Cena turns around and kicks Daniel Bryan in the head or kicks Sheamus, you know what I'm saying?
Well, John, I think you're missing my point. You're missing my point. My whole point was, The Miz is so far down the list of people given a rat's behind, rodents behind of what he does, he can be a heel and go out there and do all those things, and nobody cares. John Cena is in a completely different league. They can't do the same thing with John Cena as a heel as they could with The Miz as a heel, because the people are so much more invested in John Cena, the character, whether you like him or whether you dislike him. The Miz, nobody cared. He could do that stuff because nobody cared. They do care about Cena. And to Seth's point, there's too much out there on the table to lose.
It's not happening.
I don't know. Am I the only one who thought Cena's placement on Raw was weird Monday night? The fact that he started the show and that was it? and then the fact that Rock came on at like 10 o'clock. I know the whole thing was to get the shock and awe of the Punk angle, but between that and Laurinaitis showing up and the Cena promo the week before and the fact that Rocky got the only shot in with the Rock Bottom, you mean to tell me there's not even any part of you that's thinking they may be ready to pull the trigger on this?
Nope.
No. I think Cena gets his redemption over all the what The Rock has done to him last year and what he's already done this year to him. I think Cena finally gets his big moment, and he goes on this stupid one-year and a half tirade with the belt.
Well,
I mean,
you're probably right. You're probably right.
I hate
to
be right.
Let's look at two things. Let's look at two things. Number one, Cena Taker possibly for next year. If Cena ends the streak, I will burn the Superdome down myself. And here's the other thing about things that we may not have to look forward to with Cena, which I was alluding to earlier. There is a bad rumor for Extreme Rules that the main event is going to be the Shield against Cena and The Rock. And if that happens, guess who's ending the Shield's undefeated streak? And I think that's terrible.
And who's the third person?
Oh, no, it wouldn't be a third person. It would be Team Super Team.
So those two in a handicap match against the Shield.
Against the Shield. Oh, that was a rumor out there this week.
Well, let's hope that's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm predicting that Cena won't turn heel. If he does, I won't be surprised. There's so much talk about it that it won't be shocking. I just don't think that it's going to happen.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens. You know what, for all the crap that everyone has given this card and the build-up and this and that, you know what, except probably for Undertaker, is there really anything that's really predictable to call on this card? Like, you know.
And we can't even be so sure about that. I mean, you never know. Punk can beat him. I mean, he's capable of doing it. Right? So,
you know, and call me crazy, but isn't that the point of a show?
JCD, you make a good point. I think that the card looked very, very good, but I don't necessarily think the build-up was very good.
Right,
but
isn't the point of
build-up? So where was the build not good at, South? What has not been built in this card well?
But even before that, Rick,
some
of
the matches. Wait, let me answer Rick's question.
Yeah.
I think that some of the matches were added very late. I think that, Rock and Cena not being Rock being away so much, they weren't able to do a lot with that feud. I think the
Undertaker. We discussed that last week, though, Seth.
Yeah,
we discussed that Rock Cena 2 is not going to ever get the same kind of generation as the once in a lifetime.
Right. I think Undertaker CM Punk feud was built very well. By far, definitely. And I've been impressed with Triple H and Brock Lesnar. I just thought that the build-up started late. And I think that the build-up for pay-per-views generally do start pretty late for WWE. They generally haven't started feuds and announced matches early on prior to pay-per-views. So it's not necessarily for only this WrestleMania. I think in general WWE's been doing that.
The only match I see that wasn't built very well is Team Hell No and Ziggler-Langston. I just don't – well, I guess they had a little bit of a build to it with Langston slamming him up.
Yeah, and Langston was very impressive against Kane.
They've actually set that up pretty good with some of the backstage AJ Bryan stuff, which
I
segued into it.
That.
You know, I mean, isn't the point
–
go ahead, Seth. Isn't the point of building up a show to have you guessing what's going to happen? And, you know, with probably about 90% of this show with a big question mark on it, that's a good job then.
I agree. I'm intrigued by this WrestleMania. I'm intrigued to see what happens, and usually I'm not. It has good potential. We'll see what happens.
And for my first WrestleMania that I will be attending, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Yep. So how
all
about
right.
What else? One other piece of news, and this is big. This is big, and this may have slipped under the radar, you know, with everything else that's going on today and this week. But Martha Hart and the WWE have settled their lawsuit.
Yes.
Yep.
And WWE gets rights to his likeness, image, name, character, everything, and Martha Hart gets a nice paycheck for it. Hall of Fame, DVD, action figures, video game, character included, here we come.
Next year, right?
Next year, yeah.
Let's hope so.
I think so.
Let's hope so. And this is just me personally, if I was Lanny Poffo, I would kind of look at what kind of deal Martha Hart gets worked out, and I'd be the first one calling Vince and saying, okay, let's talk about Randy.
And he needs to get off of his pedestal about he and his father going into, even though that was Randy's wish, he needs to get off the pedestal because that's not going to happen.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement. I think that'll probably be entered next year.
I mean, what disappoints me with Lanny is, you know, supposedly, and I know what Randy did for Lanny in WCW, that Lanny basically collected a paycheck and never did anything. And I know I've said in the past that, you know, this hasn't been said on record, but you know what? The thing that gets me with Lanny is supposedly it was brought up, well, why don't we put you and your father in and then let us put Randy in on the same show? And Lanny said no to that. That's the only thing that sticks with me as far as, you know, what Lanny's out for, you know?
Yeah. I have, just going back to WrestleMania for a minute, I have a question for you guys. How many of these guys on the card are having their first WrestleMania match? I have Sandow, Ryback, the Funkadactyls, Fandango, The Shield, Big E, and Brodus Clay. Is there anyone else?
I heard this number is supposedly 10, and you got 8.
No, I think I have 10. I have 10.
Wait, let's do it again. You've got Clay.
Sandow,
okay.
Ryback,
right.
Cameron, Naomi,
right.
Fandango, Ambrose,
right.
Rollins, Reigns,
that's
Big
right,
E, and Clay.
Have the Bellas wrestled on WrestleMania before?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think they were in that Battle Royal at 25.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah, as bad as that was. But yeah, you got them all. I forgot about The Shield.
Okay.
You know,
just
the last time
WrestleMania
had this was WrestleMania 2000. That's when you had Angle, Benoit, Guerrero, Saturn, Malenko, Jericho, Big Show. No, Big Show was 99. But you had about, you know, Taz. You know, you had about 8, 9 guys make their debuts all on that show. So, you know, for everyone that wanted fresh meat on the roster, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think,
you know, plus you're going to get some call-ups. You know, probably later next week. Supposedly, there's at least 2 guys that they're going to call up. Definitely, you know, there's been some rumors about what names they are, and you're going to get some guys right. Remember, last year, right after WrestleMania, we got Cesaro, Sandow, Clay. No, not Clay, but Cesaro, Sandow, Ryback, and Tenzai.
Yeah,
guys.
So who are you hearing that could be coming up?
I also heard that they're gonna do some NXT call ups after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So what names are you hearing so far? Because I haven't heard anything. So.
The names that
who are the NXT tag champs?
It's Pac and the other guy.
It might be them.
I also heard like Leo Kruger's name has always been brought up. Corey Graves has been brought up. Everyone wants Ono up. Wyatt's probably a good choice. Steamboat's probably on the verge.
Brody Lee?
I would think those guys would come with Wyatt. Yeah, Brody Lee.
Think
and, yeah. you know, they may want to bring those guys up together. Maybe that's why Wyatt's not up yet, because I know Wyatt has worked a boatload of house shows.
So what's going on with Bo Dallas right now?
The forgotten man.
Yeah, as I say, we haven't seen squat from him. He came in and started kicking tail and hasn't been heard from since. And, of course, we did you guys also hear last week one of my members of my page was letting me know that he saw Evan Bourne wrestling on NXT against
Generico,
artist formerly known as El Generico, who's on his third or fourth name already, by the way.
Well, no, supposedly it's
really?
Just everyone can't agree on the pronunciation of it. Supposedly it's his real name.
Right.
That's what he's using. It's like that Rami Scene or something. But everyone, I've seen like Sammy Scene, Rami, like I've seen is the same name butchered.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, supposedly he's using his real name. You know.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
So you get Bourne back, you'll get Christian back. You know, you're going to have a lot of stuff to look forward to Monday and Tuesday too with SmackDown as well, you know.
And will we see the inevitable cuts like we do every year? We didn't really see it last year.
Supposedly no. Supposedly
we didn't see it last year.
Yeah,
so.
We didn't see it last year, and supposedly they're not, you know. So who knows? I've also seen some recent pictures of Mason Ryan. I know he's been working in NXT.
Yeah.
So you might see some of those guys start to resurface again. Maybe Ryan, Riley, McGillicuddy, you know.
Do you guys think that with that there will be some releases?
Well, that's what Rick just
said. That's what I just
up.
Said, Seth.
we didn't see any cuts
last year.
But you know what we saw a lot more last year? Guys just letting their contracts run out and not renewing,
right.
Which I wonder maybe if that's kind of what, you know, saved the releases. Because you know what, if you're going to cut, I don't know, a $500,000 a year contract, or that $500,000 contract's going to walk away, it doesn't matter. You still, you know, got rid of a $500,000 contract. So I think the fact that you saw a lot of people walk away might have saved the releases, and you may see that again this year, you know. Plus, you know, there's still talk that they've been trying to talk to a lot of divas. And you've got that tryout that happened about a month or so ago. That you might see some of those guys finally start to, hear some news on those guys. So
I'm going to make a WrestleMania prediction that we haven't talked about yet, because we haven't talked about if anybody's going to make a surprise appearance or not.
Okay,
I think there will be one surprise appearance.
Can I guess?
Go ahead, Seth.
I think you're going to say Christian.
I think you're wrong.
Damn.
JCD, who do you think my surprise appearance is going to be by?
Surprise appearance. All right, let me ask you this. Are they on the roster or no?
No, not currently.
Not currently. So you're saying this person will debut?
They're going to return.
Oh, return to the company. Not on the roster. Batista?
No. Guys, this is my prediction. After the Fandango and Jericho match, I think John Morrison's going to come back.
John Morrison, we just spoke to him last night.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, he was on, tell me,
because I didn't hear this. I was predicting he was going to come back and engage in a feud with Fandango while Jericho goes away again, because he's going to be touring with Fozzy again soon. So tell me what you heard then.
Yeah, more or less, I got the... when he wasn't picking on Seth, I got the impression Jomo's not looking to go back to that type of schedule full-time anytime soon.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, that was the impression. He's got a lot of other things going on.
Yeah, he's got his own thing, his own projects that he's doing, and he seems to enjoy the indie scene.
Yeah, I don't think Jomo's coming back.
Well, shoot, that was a bummer rush to me. Oh, well, at least we got knowledge. I had no idea John Morrison was even being interviewed.
Jay, we were along with Jay last night.
He's going to be at Pro Wrestling Syndicate Thursday and Friday night. So Jay and I have been in touch with the guys at PWS, and both their heavyweight champion, Kevin Too Cocky Matthews, and John Morrison were both able to come on the show last night.
Nice.
I will agree with Rick in one sense. I would not be surprised, especially with all the names that are going to be in the area over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if you do see someone unexpected show up Sunday or Monday. There's just too much out there. Yeah, but Christian's already on the contract. I'm kind of with Rick here. I could see them. If they haven't started already, I could see them maybe. You know, let's talk to so-and-so, you know, see, you know.
Hey, another thought, guys. Remember what Kia Stevens said on her Twitter. She could come back and cost the Bellas that match.
I definitely think she's definitely going to be back. I definitely remember what Rick's talking about. I could definitely see her. I'll give you one. All right, Rick, I'll play with you on this one.
Okay.
Monday night. It's not going to happen at WrestleMania. It's too big of a thing to happen. With all the other stuff's going on, it would get lost in the shuffle. But how about Monday night, they do a rematch? Okay? Or they do the Bellas versus the Funkadactyls, whatever. And the Bellas destroy the Funkadactyls. And all of a sudden, that laugh hits.
A cackle?
Yeah.
I would say that makes more sense if it wasn't a diva. If it was a guy, yeah. But if it's a diva, I still think they may pull the plug and do it at WrestleMania because they don't hold the divas in as high as regard.
Yeah, but you know what, though? In that fact alone, it would get lost in the shuffle even more at WrestleMania.
Interesting thought.
You know, I could definitely see Cesaro coming out and maybe talking smack, and that's where Christian could come out.
Yeah.
You know, and confront them and maybe start their feud. I could definitely see that.
No, I'm going to tell you why that's not going to happen, because Cesaro's been opening his mouth and no American is going to beat him, and we all know Christian's Canadian.
How many of those guys were listed as being from America already? I mean,
everybody knows Christian's Canadian, though.
They've announced him.
I mean, it's common knowledge among WWE Universe that Christian and Copeland were both Canadians.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's
but they
the only
tried
reason
to pull
I don't think
back.
It could be Christian. It would have to be somebody completely out of the blue.
Yeah, they pulled that in 2004 when they were going to debut that Hirohito character. That's when Jericho all of a sudden became back, you know, from Syosset, and that's when Benoit was from Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, Edge was from somewhere, yeah. But they've done that in the past.
Yeah, but it won't work this time.
Yeah.
Especially after the Canadian angles they've been pulling, everybody remembers that stuff.
Anything else we want to cover before we go off?
Well, I think it's such a big WWE week that TNA doesn't even deserve a spot this week.
Ooh.
We'll do it next week. We're running out of time. There's nothing new to talk about from last week.
Yeah. Well. All
right. Well then, let's.
Rick, you may be on your own next week.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
Baby, hold off.
Nah.
Not happening.
With this current news, probably not.
You'll have Big Vito. And it could be a preview to Pro Wrestling Obsession Live.
Indeed.
Watch, this is going to be like the biggest WrestleMania and Raw ever on Monday night.
Yeah.
Watch.
And you guys won't even be there.
What are you going to do?
And I'm going to be at it all and then can't talk about it. But anyway... we are OU Didn't Know Radio. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/OU Didn't Know Radio. ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, check them out. You can find them on Facebook and on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Give JCD a follow. He could use it at JCD1219NY.
Yeah, I'm down
follow.
4.
Oh, my God. I'm up to 650.
All right. Can you stop?
You sound like my girlfriend. She's also jealous because she doesn't have as many Twitter followers either.
Don't even give me a number on how many she has, because I guarantee you she's got more than me.
Yeah, she does, but not nearly as many.
JCD, your baby has your unborn baby has more followers than you do.
You know what, Rick? Yeah. That's probably true.
You can follow me at Seth Gut, SethGutt. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. Check out Pro Wrestling Obsession on Facebook. Join the group.
Please
do. Has a great community over there. What?
Said please do.
Yeah, exactly.
And Rick, Rick, I'm going to tell you something right now. If this does come to fruition, you better give him a shout out on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And don't forget that Rick will be starting his own podcast, Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. I believe the date is May 3rd. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, May 3rd.
Already lined up my first guest. We got the Dave and Jake Christ from CZW, the Irish Airborne, will be joining me in Blitz Forrester.
Very nice. All right, guys, enjoy your WrestleMania weekend.
You too, guys. Have fun.
And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. WrestleMania. Man, that's one word.
That's one word. What are you talking about?
WrestleMania weekend.
Later.
WrestleMania weekend. There you go. All right, have a good night, guys.
Later, guys. Bye.